I've posed for pictures with ivory soap. I take in stray dogs and steer clear of dope. My smile is brilliant. My glance is tender. But I'm noted most for my unspoiled gender. Prim and proper. A girl who's never been kissed. But I'm tired of being pure. So, how about a little twist? Like something that seeks its level. I wanna go to the devil. I wanna be evil. I wanna spit tax. I wanna be evil. I wanna scratch some bats. I wanna be wicked. I wanna tell lies.
Well, we're about to have a conversation about Eartha Kitt, but more than this about Eartha Kitt. Renee Marie is in the studio. She's a vocalist, actress, writer. I'll just say this little story before we start. And we're going to hear her in a moment singing this incredible rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing that she did to the tune of the Star Spangled Banner. We're going to talk a bit about that when we hear this, as soon as it's queued up. And what's interesting as we hear this is that I was at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of African Culture and Art, African American Culture and Art here in Baltimore, and my dear friend Shodaka had put together a sound display. We'll probably hear that tomorrow on the show, I think, or next week early. And one of the voices on there was this woman, Renee Marie, singing Lift Every Voice and Sing. I said, whoa, I love this. What is this? And then I get this note saying, this woman, Renee Marie, is coming to Baltimore to do this Eartha Kitt piece. So then I immerse myself in Renee Marie's work and who she was and have just been blown away. And now she's in the studio here. And welcome to Baltimore.
Hi.
Welcome. It's good to have you here.
How are you?
I'm well. How are
wow.
you?
I'm great. My face is just grinning. I'm very happy to be
it
here.
It just puts me the synchronicity of how things kind of fall in place all at one time, right?
Yes. But I do want to say one little thing.
Please do.
When I'm here on the 6th, which is Saturday, it's not a one-woman show that I'm doing.
Your band.
Yes, it's a concert. I just want to make sure.
Yes.
But it's that we're doing the music of Eartha Kitt, like some of the songs that she did. We have two sets, and we'll put some in one set and some in another. And plus, we'll be doing this song that you're talking about now. It's a suite that I wrote called Voice of My Beautiful Country, of which Lift Every Voice and Sing / National Anthem is part of the suite.
Part of that.
Yes.
It's the work you're doing is incredible. I mean, I think because you're kind of very socially conscious and you're a serious musician
and
writer. And you're not attempting to imitate Eartha Kitt.
No.
You're
clarifying
right? You're
that.
You're honoring Eartha Kitt, not imitating Eartha Kitt.
I'm honoring Eartha. I love Eartha, but I would not dare try to imitate Eartha. She's inimitable. Come on.
She
you
was.
Can't do that.
I had the great pleasure and joy of interviewing her once.
Oh, no way.
On my program when she came in. Yeah, she was.
Oh, what was it like? Oh, boy.
Well, when she first came in, she did not want to be part of it.
Oh, no.
She was not in a good place.
Yeah.
But by the end of the show, she was smiling.
You put her there.
We had a good time. She was
of
great. Eartha Kitt
did.
Was amazing. But your own history, before we jump into this Eartha and this concert you're doing, even reading about where you came out of and how you jumped into this world of music,
mm-hmm.
you didn't jump into it till your 40s, right?
That's right. I was 42 when I had my first gig. I mean, I sang as a teenager,
uh-huh.
and that's where I met my husband. He played in the band.
Husband, is that like a has-been husband?
A husband that was. He was my husband.
Was a husband.
He ain't no more. And so that's where we met as teenagers. And then we got married and we got involved in this very strict religion.
Which one was it?
It's Jehovah's Witnesses.
Jehovah's Witnesses, right.
And so we stopped performing in public completely, except at events or, you know, things that Jehovah's Witnesses did. But we continued to play at home. So all throughout that time, those 20-some years, we still nurtured our love for music. But my son, my oldest son, I love that boy. He talked me into singing in public. He just was at this restaurant, and he called me from the restaurant and said, Mom, you got to come to this restaurant. There's this woman singing all these songs that you sing at home, and she's terrible. He says, come on, you got to meet me up there. So I did, and she was a great singer, but she was bored with the music. And she was consequently boring. And the musicians were boring and bored. And the people listening to her were bored. And I thought, what a shame. These great songs from the American Songbook. And she's not singing them with any feeling. And that's when my son said, do it, Mom. You could do it. I said, and I'm too old, boy. He said, no, you're not. You can do it. So.
And how many albums do you have out now?
I have
We call them
10.
Albums, I don't know what CDs, but we call them.
10, yes.
And I listened to maybe 5 of them last night.
Oh, you did not.
I did so. I got home. I said, let me find out
you're
who this
crazy,
woman is.
Crazy, Mark.
I started listening and downloading songs. And whoa. I mean, you did a piece. I'm going to come right back to Arthur Kidd, but
okay.
We're going to play this at the very end of the program. Mm-hmm. So people can hear it as we go out. But you did a piece, I think, I forget which album. It might have been Vertigo or another album that you did.
Mm-hmm.
It was Dixie and the Strange Fruit.
Yes.
And you put those two songs, you put Dixie together.
I did.
With Strange Fruit. And I even heard a little bit of the national anthem rhythm inside of your Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk a bit about that particular project and what you were doing there. That was just, that really blew my mind.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a project. It was more like a compulsion.
Okay.
I had,
right.
I couldn't stifle the sneeze, so to speak. It was as though I had really big sneeze, which encompassed singing Dixie and putting it with Strange Fruit. And I'd had the idea for years before I got the nerve to actually talk about it to other people of color, because if there's three things that people of color, you know, is anathema to us, the song Dixie, the word nigger, and the Confederate flag. And here I was thinking, I'm going to sing Dixie. So I did some research and found out that there was some disagreement about who wrote the song. They're saying that the guy who got credit for it, I forget his name now, but then they were saying that he hung around with this black family of singers who taught him a lot of music. And so there's nothing really objectionable in the lyrics of Dixie. It's just the context in which the song is usually played. And I thought, this song is about a person who loves living in the South and wants to go back. What's wrong with that? Why should this one group of people have ownership, so to speak, of this song and sing it this one way, and that's the only way you hear it? When I hear it, it's like a prayer or some gospel music to me. And so I came up with this way to sing it, and every time I would present it to my friends and family, you know, people of color, like, hey, I have this idea, I want to sing Dixie. And I'd sit them down, and here's how it goes, and I'd sing it, and then afterwards they'd go, but Renee, it's Dixie. And I'll go, I know, I can't sing it, can I? Until finally, I just
Well, the way you do it,
had
and,
to do
and
it.
Dixie, in about 1 minute and a half into the song, you come out with Strange Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful. I mean, it could be.
It's powerful.
Because you could take it in a number of ways.
Yes.
When you hear the way you did that piece.
I've talked, when I've done other interviews at jazz stations and they've played it, they say the phone lights up when they first start playing the Dixie, and of course it would. But the DJs just tell them, just hang on, you know, hang on and hear the song all the way through. And I thank them for that because...
No, it's very it's wonderful. I gave that to my producer this morning to try to play it for us. But we're going to hear this right now, and then we're going to talk more about this production coming up this Saturday and your approach to your work. But this is where I first was introduced to Renee Marie by Shodaka at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, was hearing this piece, When Lift Every Voice and Sing, was sung to the tune of the Star-Spangled Banner.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring with a harmony of liberty. Let our rejoicings rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling
Now that I can't let the entire piece is played because we only have so much time with Renee Marie, but
that's the recording of the first time I ever did it
at this inaugural, right?
Oh, well, it was the mayor's state of the city.
Mayor's state of the city address, right?
Yes, Dave. Oops.
Whatever
what was the mayor's name?
Some people did not like this at all when you did this.
Yeah, there was a guy on the city council who was so upset he went to the local conservative talk radio station that same day and complained about it. And I started getting phone calls because the mayor gave my phone number and my email address to the people who were complaining at the mayor's office. And he was like, wait, I didn't know she was going to do it. So, and that was cool with me because an artist should take responsibility for the things that we say and do. So, but yeah, some people were upset, and I ended up getting like 1,600 emails over a period of several months about this one song, and some from as far away as Russia, Thailand. It was unbelievable. But it was a great way to have a conversation about the whole thing. And the feelings are dredged up for people.
Right. Mm-hmm. You were there singing the national anthem, but sang the other national anthem. And mixed it, and I thought that was a very powerful statement to make.
Yes.
Which city was this in? I forget.
Denver. And you know, it was in 2008, and Obama came through 2 days later as part of his, what do you call it, when they're campaigning.
Campaign.
Yeah. And of course, like the first thing out of their mouths in asking him was what he thought about it. Although they never did ask John McCain. And I couldn't figure that out, Mark. I wonder why they didn't do that, Mark.
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
What did Obama say?
Well, you know, Lift Every Voice and Sing is a beautiful song, but if she was asked to sing the national anthem, that's what she should have sung. That's what he said. But I just know that him and Michelle went home that night and they were like, girl, did you hear what she did?
I know.
I can't believe she did that. Go ahead, Renee. That's what they said in private.
I think that's true.
I'm sorry.
talk about your Eartha Kitt for a minute and why you took this project on.
Oh, I only have one word for Eartha, and that is...
go ahead.
No. She's so awesome. She just was bodacious, you know? She had this quality of just totally being comfortable in her own skin. And she didn't try to push it on other people or get other people to be like her. You know, she wasn't critical of... She just did her thing, not quietly, but...
Not quietly, no.
But certainly with a lot of circumspect, she did. I don't think she was trying to... be outrageous, but it came across that way because she crossed the boundaries of color and being a good girl, you know, which is a lesson a lot of us can learn.
But when did you first hear her?
First time I heard her, and I didn't know it was that she was Eartha Kitt, was when I was a kid and watching the Batman series.
Catwoman.
Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yes. Of course
this
I have.
Woman moves... The way she moves, I don't know how she got away with it. And in fact, when I was a kid watching it, I was like, somebody's going to bust down the door and arrest this woman because look how she's talking to these white people. You know?
Right.
I think I was still living under Jim Crow laws. When did that come out?
Because you grew up in Virginia, right?
I did.
Right.
I did. I was still living under Jim Crow laws. And so, you know, you get kind of, your mind gets set in a certain way of seeing people behave a certain way, and there she was breaking past all those barriers and boundaries, knocking them down with just a twitch of her little tail, you know, as Catwoman. I'm talking
Catwoman. I was be clear about that, right? No, she was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that she was this very kind of sensual symbol, and for the entire nation, she broke a lot of ground for a lot of stuff. People don't give her the credit for it.
There's a new biography that came out about her the same month our CD was released, last year in October, called, and the name of the biography is called America's Mistress. I don't particularly like the title, but I learned a lot about Eartha by reading that. It's not been endorsed by her daughter. Her daughter keeps a website to Eartha Kitt's memory, earthakitt.com.
I'll check that.
And her name is Kit Shapiro. So, yeah, she's got a lot of these Kittisms that are on the website of Eartha's favorite quotes.
Okay, I will check that out.
I did see her live, too, which was astounding. My mouth was open and drooling like everybody else in there. She's awesome.
So are you taking this around the country?
Yeah. Well, we've been touring for over a year with it. In fact, we just got back from, we were in, 10 cities in Spain, and then a week in London, and then in Italy, singing these songs that Eartha sang. And oh, what songs they are. I've never had so much fun, Mark, in my life.
Sure. I've heard you sing the Eartha Kitt pieces in there. They're your pieces. I know you don't have your band here.
They will be here tomorrow.
Can you do anything for us here?
Yeah, there's this tune that she did that a lot of people sang called Come On to My House. Do you know that? Come on.
Yeah.
Not Ethel Mormon. I can't think of all these really up-tempo. We took it and slowed it way, 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 way down. And I found there's a verse to the song. So what do you want me to do, the verse or
whatever you like. You're the artist. I'm just sitting with you. would you like to do?
Guys, clear my throat. I'll do the verse and then go on to a little bit of it. One lonely, beautiful girl coming home from the market one day. See handsome brown-skinned boy, fell in love with him right away. He look at her, she look at him, but she didn't know just how to say she loved him. Oh, she wanted to marry him. So she told him wonderful things in a very strange way. She said, come on to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum. Let you play my drum. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you figs and dates. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you grapes and the cakes while you watch me shake. Hey, come on to my house. My house, come on.
That's beautiful. I love it. I love to do acapella stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Acapella, good stuff.
Yeah, you got to. You know, singers should do more acapella.
Yeah, but you have the voice for it, too. You can carry it off.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
And it was Rosemary Clooney and Della Reese.
Rosemary Clooney. That's what I was trying to
say. And Della Reese also who sang.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And so many other people have covered that song. And actually, when Eartha did it, it was really fast. Like, come on to my house, come on. And then she added this Japanese scat. Come on to my house, come on. It's awesome to hear her. I think she spoke like 9 languages.
Did she?
She's incredible.
Yes, I know she was multilingual. I knew that for sure,
Very I'm multi-single. You know, I can sing in it. I don't know what I'm saying. But I can sing it.
So that's why you have to come to... that's all that counts, really.
What's that, being able to sing
it? Sometimes you can fake it. If you can sing it, you can fake it.
Right. That's it.
So, folks, this is why you need to be at the... need to come down this Saturday night at the Creative Lions. You don't want to miss this particular night. It's going to be... I hope... I'm dying to get there.
Hope you can come.
I can. I have to do a thing at the theater, the Everyman Theater... before that, but I'm hoping that after that we can make our way down to...
You know, I was reading about you, Mark. I just read some things about your biography and the things that you've done. You're just amazing. You're an amazing cat. It's such an honor to meet you.
Oh, thank you. Same here.
I mean, seriously, thank you so much for all the stuff you've done. It's set a great example for us.
Well, you got me doing what I was doing earlier.
What's that?
You.
Oh, I'm serious. I mean, we should acknowledge that, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to play a little piece. What are we playing now? Another piece from Renee Marie, right? We're going to have a little piece. We're going to hear to get you set up a little bit for the rest of our conversation. And
okay.
Let's do it. Is that what you said? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Oy.
Educated fleas do it. Let's do it. Let's fall in love. In Spain, the best upper sets do it. Lithuanians, and let's do it. Honey, let's do it. Let's fall in love. The Dutch and old Amsterdam. Not to mention the fans. Folks in Siam do it. Just think of Siamese twins. Some Argentines without means to.
Oh, Lord.
I didn't write those lyrics. No, that was Cole Porter lyrics.
It was definitely Cole Porter.
Oh, boy.
But
there are two tunes on the CD written by Cole Porter, that and My Heart Belongs to Daddy. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's cool. I mean, I think that, it's the way you decide to own these songs.
Yeah.
To do it your way.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, the cutesy way is fine. It's all well and good. But how many times has it been done that way? Just countless times. And so I thought this would be so cool to sing it as blues, because the blues often have those double entendres, you know.
Right.
And it just fits so good. And that bass line, Elias Bailey, he came up with that, sounding all good.
Is he in your band?
Oh, yeah. And you know, Wycliffe Gordon solos on this.
Oh, wow.
So there's a horn section on about four of the songs, the entire horn section, a three-piece, of Wycliffe Gordon, Adrian Cunningham, and Etienne Charles. And Etienne actually arranged the horn section. He's such a talented.
Your band, from what I'm listening on you, from listening to the pieces I downloaded, you know, and listening to you, they're tight.
Yep.
It's a tight band.
We've been playing together a long time. Yep.
So how does it, I mean, I just think about, you know, when you think about our past lives and how you lived in your world, this kind of very restricted religious world, and then exploded out. I mean, and living a different, totally different life. It's almost mm-hmm. a 360-degree mm-hmm. change in your existence. I mean, because it seems to me that it's not just your music. It's the way you look at the world.
Everything.
Spiritually, the way you carry right. yourself, the way you dress.
Right.
You know,
it's
tattoo,
everything.
No tattoo before, tattoo now. And, you know what I'm saying? It's a
I do.
You know?
I don't know who that woman was back then. But I am very grateful to her, because I had to go through that.
Yeah.
I really did. It saved me from myself when I needed to be saved
that.
From myself. I was an angry black teenager in the 70s,
uh-huh.
ready to just, I'm just being honest here, just light something up. But instead, I went in this other direction. I zigged when I thought I would be zagging. And I'm just very happy I did that. It serves as a good foundation for me even now. I think my head's on pretty straight, but I'm untethered and really excited and happy to experiment with things, you know?
Right.
It's all good. You don't have to be tied to anything. You can always change your mind.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Maybe tough, but you can.
Yes.
Might be tough.
Yeah.
But I think this is I'm really looking forward to Saturday Night. People, you do not want to miss this. Incredible woman and her singing. What time is it? Saturday? It's
there's a 7 p.m. and then a 9 p.m.
Right, 7
show.
And 9.
And we don't do the same songs twice. We never, ever do that. So we always have
different.
Something. Mm-hmm. But there will be songs from the new CD. And the name of the CD is I Want to Be Evil. And, of course, we brought some CDs with us.
And your other CDs as well. I love your CD, Vertigo.
Thank you so much.
That's just a beautiful piece of work.
Thank you. Thank you. Some good stuff on there. I like it, too.
Yeah. Yes, lawyer seat. I mean, I just really, I'm glad I discovered you. I'm glad you had a chance to come here to Baltimore and to come here on the program.
Now, you know, there is one more song that's on the CD that I wrote. I was really hesitant to put it on there. The name of it is Weekend.
Yes, right.
And you heard it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Told you I listened to you last night.
Okay.
That's what I was doing. I was home listening to you.
Okay. So it really pushes the boundaries, too, a lot. Just because I had some questions about things and I wanted to raise them. And I don't think as artists we have to wait until we think we have the answer before we
right.
go ahead and do what we got to do.
No, exactly. I think that's what, I mean, that's the, what, I mean, the stuff you write, it's a wide range of stuff, mm-hmm. but you do put it out there, whether it's your feeling about existence, love, and life, or whether right. it's about the issues society faces.
Right.
You put it out there right. through your song.
Right, right. I wrote a tune about homelessness because my brother was homeless for, while we didn't even know it, but he was homeless for about 15 years. And when I finally found out about it, we were just, our family was stunned to realize he was working every day and living on the street, which we had no idea. So I wrote the song about homelessness because prior to that, of finding out that he was homeless, I viewed the homeless in a certain way, you know, always questioning, well, why do they want money? What are they going to do with
right.
it?
Right, but
until
you find out.
My brother was, so.
I wish we had another half hour, another hour.
Another time.
Another time we have to have a much
Some
longer conversation.
Time.
So we're going to go out, keep that Dixie and Strange Fruit under us as we go out here,
okay.
if you would.
Thank you so much, Mark.
And thank you so much for coming by, Brandon
really
Marie. Great
it.
To meet you.
Thanks.
Really lovely to meet you. And so Saturday night, Renee Marie sings Eartha Kitt, 7 to 9 p.m., Creative Alliance, September the 6th. You can go to creativealliance.org. And I have an idea for you. So go there at the 7 or and or 9 o'clock show. And before you get there, you should come on over to the Everyman Theater, where I will be doing our first World of the Play series, Waiting in the Wings, on Saturday night, September 6th at 5 p.m. Our conversation about the play, The Understudy, is going to be fascinating. With people from New York, Broadway, and here on this conversation with us about what it means to be an understudy, how it differs from acting, and more. Come there, grab a little something to eat, and go see Renee Marie at Creative Alliance that evening at 7 and 9 p.m. Go to creativealliance.org. Good to have
Mark.
You here.
Thank
you
so much.
On the way out of here, you hand the song that just got to me, Dixieland. There it is. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern is Sienna Greaves. To hear this show again, pack podcasts or past shows, and check out what our guests are doing, please go to steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download all of our podcasts on iTunes on your favorite app. And from Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.
Southern trees bear.